Is it on? Is it on? Oh, yes, it is. Welcome to another Tech Plus for another week. It's Ion though, with you as well as Kane, and we're about to look at this week's biggest tech stories. Kane, how's it going, man?
We're back again, huh?
Yes, I didn't recognize Kane. We almost didn't let him in because he looks so different. He's had a haircut.
Almost got bounced by security.
Yeah, unrecognizable. Almost denied entry. We had to ask for ID.
A lot of people are telling me they have never seen me with this short hair.
Never, no. Never,
so
never,
gonna
ever.
Be very surprised when I go bald.
Yeah. Oh, no, please don't. Yo, anyway, how's it going? How was your week? And how was Tech's Week?
It's been going good. I mean, Tech's Week's been absolutely crazy. Let's start with OpenAI and
yes.
Elon Musk.
Oh yeah, there was a bit of a thing happening this week.
Yeah, so whoever doesn't know about OpenAI is the creators of ChatGPT.
Yeah.
They were originally invested in by Elon Musk, funny enough. He was one of the initial capital investors. And they became very, very successful. And some policies that they stood by was the fact that they're open source, that they're a non-profit organization, and that they're in it to basically better humanity. They're in it for the betterment of humanity. And with the most recent release of ChatGPT-4, they released ChatGPT-4 without making it publicly available or open source. And without making it something that is for the betterment of humanity, but rather for price and income. So what did Elon Musk do? Well, being one of the initial investors in OpenAI, he turned around and said, okay, well, then I guess I'm going to sue you for not sticking to what you originally agreed on all those years ago when I initially gave you capital.
Mm.
And that was now Elon Musk basically saying he's suing OpenAI for abandoning its mission to benefit humanity. And that was announced on the 1st of March. And since then, a few things have happened. In fact, OpenAI has actually come out now and said that Elon Musk wanted absolute control over the company. They even released some emails.
Yes, I heard that some of the emails actually were leaked. Eh?
Yes. So OpenAI responded to Elon Musk's lawsuit by saying that he at one point wanted absolute control of the company by merging it with Tesla. In a blog post published on Tuesday, OpenAI said it will move to dismiss all of Elon's claims and offered its own counter-narrative to his account of the company abandoning its original mission as a non-profit. They went on to say that as we discussed, for a non-profit structure in order to further the mission, Elon wanted us to merge with Tesla, or he wanted full control, including majority equity, initial board control, and to be CEO. According to the post, which is authored by OpenAI co-founders Greg Brockman and a few others, including Sam Altman and other board members, we couldn't agree to terms for a for-profit with Elon because we felt it was against the mission for any individual to have absolute control of OpenAI. So we're seeing a bit of a strange narrative there. You know, Elon Musk saying, hey, these guys said they were going to be non-profit. Then we hear that Elon Musk actually had emails and correspondence to OpenAI basically saying, hey, you guys aren't going to make enough money. You're going to need to make sure you make money. You can't just rely on capital investment. You're going to have to be able to make some degree of profit in some way, shape, or form. And then he also went on to say that they should give him full control of the company and put him in the CEO position. And that's obviously their counter argument. So we don't know how he said, she said that whole situation is. But Musk alleged in his suit that OpenAI has become a closed source de facto subsidiary of Microsoft that is focused on making money instead of benefiting humanity. And in doing so, his suit claims that OpenAI abandoned its original nonprofit mission that he helped fund. And it also was said that Musk said in his initial meetings with OpenAI that he'll be happy to commit up to $1 billion. And, they should go and do some funding. And any amount that they fall short of, he will supply the remainder. And I think they ended up raising like $27 million.
Wow.
I think Musk only ever ended up putting in like $5 million or something like that. I wouldn't quote me on the figures on that one. But it was never a billion-dollar investment.
Mm.
Just absolutely mad to see, you know, what actually was happening all that time ago. I mean, I wonder if Elon Musk really did want to merge OpenAI with, is Tesla AI autopilot as well. That probably makes a lot of sense, you know. Merge the cognitive AI with your AI that can drive someone around, and now the same AI that can drive you around can also manage your whole life. Yeah, so very interesting to see that that unfold, and we'll obviously be paying close attention to it as it unfolds.
And then this week, elephant in the room.
What happened?
Meta.
Oh no.
It's gone down, it's broken.
She's not working well.
She's broken.
No.
This week, Meta just crashed completely, and that included Facebook and Instagram. And you know what's funny? It didn't include WhatsApp, because WhatsApp is part of the Meta family. WhatsApp didn't go down.
So it was only Facebook and Instagram?
It was only Facebook and Instagram. And the funny thing is, I was actually on Facebook at the time. The outage lasted for about 20 minutes, but it was worldwide.
Were you trying to reconnect for the whole 20 minutes, or did you give up?
No, I gave up after like 5-7 minutes. The thing is, it logged everyone out. So you thought that something was wrong, and then a lot of people started changing their passwords and stuff.
Oh, wait, so you got logged out?
Yeah, so yeah, you were just logged out. You could just see that login screen where you have to put in your email address and your password. So you kept putting it in and putting it in, putting it in, putting it in. Didn't work. And I think a lot of people went so far as to go to I forgot my password,
worried, you know?
Yeah, so it kind of actually it kind of looked like, you know, your account was hacked.
Damn.
And somebody logged you out. That was one of my concerns. But I set up two-factor authentication, so I was like, nah, I don't think this is possible. But anyway, a lot of people were panicking, and you know, the addicts obviously had a heart attack.
Strong withdrawals.
Yes, massive. But you know, I think Threads was still operating, and then of course X was operating as well. And then Elon posted a very funny picture of penguins obeying their master, and then the penguins are the three penguins that stand there. You know, it's Facebook and Instagram and another one, and they're obeying the master X, so they're like, you know, saluting him, because that's the only one that was working. So Elon obviously had to post something again. And then, obviously, all the memes followed and stuff. But once again, insane to see the reaction when a social network or two goes down across the world, different time zones, and how people panic and how they, you know, make videos about it afterwards and stuff.
It's definitely a degree of the population, I think, that didn't care, and then another degree that really cared a lot, and then another one that was, like, absolutely not happy with it at all, you know.
Yeah.
Someone, like, especially influencers, like, it's all fun and games, when then stuff like that happens, you think you lose your account, you've actually just quickly lost your whole income.
You know what? And I understand that completely. I wouldn't call that being addicted to it. I mean, it's a lifeline for influencers making money off it. And very often you hear about accounts being banned for no reason, you know, or people maliciously mass reported and then it gets removed. But anyway, as for what happened, Facebook or Meta, they didn't really respond to that question. I know that Mark Zuckerberg posted something along the lines of, everybody please calm down, we're working on it, or something.
Oh, whoa.
Like that. but yeah, I think probably, what do you think, what happened? Probably somebody who switched on a button that they shouldn't have, or cut a wire, pulled a cable or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's just not something like you can just accidentally stumble. You're not like, oh no, I tripped and accidentally now nothing's working. I feel like you gotta make like a really big mess up.
Well, maybe it was just like a coding thing. Maybe they just changed something in the codes. Somebody thought a zero was an O or something, and then bam.
They're probably doing some sort of database migration or something, and something during that process just did not go as planned, and whatever resolutions they tried to implement were just not working. So I think on the outside we were like, oh, you know, where's this, where's that? But I think the staff on the inside were like...
No, it was panic stations. I bet you they were like... red lights flashing in the office and
code red.
Yeah, and alarms going off and stuff. But yeah, mad world, eh?
absolutely mad world. I mean, speaking of a mad world, one of the US data centers has decided to launch in South Africa. They actually decided way back in 2022. It invested over $160 million, and back then that was about 2.8 billion rand, to launch a data center in Johannesburg, and it looks like they're actually beginning. So, I mean, 2 years, it took them 2 years to get there, almost, well, just less than 2 years, December 2022, to basically reach an agreement, and then, made a $160 million investment into a data center in Johannesburg. And what I thought was quite interesting is they actually went on to say that they've got a lot of demand already from different types of businesses trying to use their data centers, which could just be for things like Disney Plus streaming or Netflix content delivery all these types of things. So there's obviously a demand for an international market to bring that kind of infrastructure in, because it allows for smart tech, you know, fast moving files and all that kind of stuff that we really, really like. But I thought that was very, very interesting. And then I don't know if you knew this, but apparently, Takealot is looking to sell its fashion retailer Superbalist because of concerns about increased competition from Chinese apparel shops Shein and Temu.
What?
Yeah, Daily Investor has learned from well-placed industry sources that Takealot is investigating the sale of Superbalist. Details around the planned sale remain sketchy, and Takealot did not comment on questions about the planned sale. However, it is understood that Takealot's management is concerned about the threat from low-cost Chinese retailers.
Yo.
How interesting, hey? Absolutely mad. They want to sell right before Amazon gets here. Tell me that's not suspicious.
It is. Yeah, the timing, you see. The timing.
Very strange timing. Then we have Eskom, which we have some stats. Apparently, Eskom spends 2.3 billion on diesel per month, which equates to roughly 1.3 million Toyota Fortuners being fully topped up.
What?
Yeah, that's insane.
So how do they even do that?
How does it even work?
How do they afford it? I thought they had no money.
Yeah, that is absolutely insane.
Yo, that's just to keep the lights on in South Africa, hey?
Sure.
That's very troubling, actually.
No. And on that note, it was time for a music break.
It sure is. Let's go for some music. Welcome back to Tech Plus, where we talk about the week's biggest tech stories. It's Jan and Kane with you on this Saturday. We do it every week, same time, same place. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Have you ever heard of or watched Dragon Ball Z?
Yes, of course, man. Yeah.
I think everybody knows about Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Did you used to watch Dragon Ball Z?
Yes. But was more of a Pokemon guy. But Dragon Ball Z was also cool at one stage, I remember. Did you watch it?
Yes. Yo, Dragon Ball Z whenever I was younger, I thought, geez, you know, Dragon Ball Z is like probably one of the coolest shows ever. Ended up getting into it. But it looks like the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, has passed away
recently, man.
And he's recognized internationally for Dragon Ball Z, one of the best-selling manga series of all time, which ran from 1984 to 1995, alongside his work as a character designer for Chrono Trigger and the Dragon Quest video game franchise. So that's sad,
that's
but also
sad.
Really, really awesome, you know, the Dragon Ball Z creator. Imagine being the creator of Dragon Ball Z, you know? That's like being the creator of Marvel Comics. It's just...
Yeah.
You have a whole world behind your name, a whole, you know, a whole entire universe that doesn't exist, but does exist in a shared collective consciousness.
Man. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. That's a
very important man that we lost there.
Yes. Then Biden apparently wants to ban AI voice impressions.
Sorry, Biden.
Biden.
But he's a robot himself.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he needs the AI voice impressions the most. You know?
Listen, you started something here now, eh? Biden, the stuff I'm seeing, that man, he doesn't know where he is.
I know.
And he wants to run for president again. I think he's 81, eh?
I know, he doesn't seem like he's totally...
He is not...
His
cognitive abilities, the way he's responding, you know, there's a big difference between scatterbrained and what he is. And you can just see, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a Trump supporter. I'm not saying anything. I'm just neutral here. But let's be honest, Biden's a big embarrassment for America. You know, standing there, not knowing where he is.
Not knowing how to get off the stage.
That's always falling off the stage, constantly not knowing which way to go, forgetting stuff. Then he just stands there and he freezes, you know. I just don't think he can do another run for president, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
Why are these politicians so old? There should be a limit, don't you think? A cap. Like when you hit, say... no, 70 or something, then you should retire, should be forced to retire.
I think you should. I think, you know, the prevalence of neurological diseases at that age makes it very, very difficult. But I also think at that age, the way you experience life and the way everyone else is experiencing life, I think are very vastly different. And I think if you want to run a country and cater to all frames of life, you're going to have to find a way to be very hip and very now at the same time, you know?
It's America, for heaven's sakes, and that's, out of all the Americans, that's the guy you come up with to be the president.
Yeah, that is absolutely mental.
Sorry, we sidetracked it. when you said Biden, I just couldn't keep it in, I'm sorry.
So, Biden is wanting to ban AI voice impression. He said in a State of the Union address last night, without elaborating, robocalls using an AI voice clone of the president recently tried to persuade New Hampshire voters not to vote, causing the FCC to issue a ban on such calls. But is Biden now alluding to something broader? So, yeah, unfortunately, I mean, people are going to be impersonating people all the time now that AI is out. It's going to be very difficult to avoid it. So even if you do make it, I feel like if you make it illegal, it becomes even harder because the people that would have been doing it abundantly now only go and do it when they get caught. So every single thing is kind of watched down the process a little bit.
But apparently to clone somebody's voice on AI, all you need is about a 60-second sample of that voice, and then it can create a whole profile on that voice.
Yeah, remember the Amazon Alexa feature that they were just betaing? They didn't even I don't even think it's released to the public yet, but you can just send a voice note or a piece of audio of 30 seconds or longer to the Amazon Alexa, and the voice that Amazon Alexa uses can be that particular relative or whatever person you've trained the voice
on. Yes, exactly.
So you could have old voice notes from a passed away relative, and you can just go. Imagine how weird that would be.
No. Would you do that?
No, well, I definitely wouldn't, I don't think. I don't think it's the same. It's not the same at all. It's just a programmatic voice. It's nothing. It's not the real thing. It's just...
Yeah, and I'm sure it won't sound, you know, exactly like your grandpa sounded when he was 86 when he died, you know.
No, but it will definitely get closer and closer to sounding like it's indistinguishable, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's scary, eh?
It is. You don't really know how we're going to trust certain things. How are we going to know what's a video, what's not? How are we going to know what's an image, what's not?
Deepfake concerns me, those deepfake things where it actually looks like the person is talking and the mouth and everything's moving, even the mannerisms, eh? That is an incredibly scary thing, because now you're going to end up with court cases where people say, well, I've got you on camera, and look, there you say whatever and whatever. You said it, so you're guilty. And then how will the court now prove that you said it or not, you know? How will they prove it's deep fake or it's real?
That's the thing. How do
and, you know, that concerns me, because we're going to have innocent people locked away.
That's
and then they never said it. Or never did it.
Yeah, that's actually crazy.
I'm very worried about that, eh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Here's another thing as well. So apparently, there might be a third time's the charm moment for SpaceX. Remember we spoke about them launching their rockets? They were trying to launch that big, massive rocket that's going to help them get to Mars, basically. It's going to be the primary rocket ship that they would use for a trip like that. So they've been testing this thing thoroughly, and they've tested it twice and both times it failed. So this may be the third time's the charm moment for SpaceX's Starship rocket. The third flight test for the Starship rocket might take place on March 14th at 7:30 a.m. ET, and SpaceX announced this on Twitter, and that's assuming the FAA signs off on it and nothing comes along and disrupts it. But that's pretty cool to see another rocket launch. I mean, those rocket launches are probably some of the biggest rocket launches so far. So you really want to pay close attention to them. They're really quite something to watch, to watch take off and ultimately end up leaving our atmosphere.
Yeah, and with real people inside.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I wonder how, because you can actually go. There's some businesses that I think Richard Branson's business, Virgin Galactic or whatever it's called, that they built a device to go literally into the orbit of space and then come back down again. So it's not for going to the moon or going to Mars. It's actually just for normal travel, except you go into the atmosphere first, travel really fast, then come back into the atmosphere.
Cool.
Total different world, eh?
It
Who
is.
Who would have thought?
No, that's crazy, man.
Who would have thought?
Hi-bo.
Then in some other news for anyone that has a PS5 and is playing the new Spider-Man 2 game, apparently a new update has come along that gives players access to things like New Game Plus and, you know, other various tools and tutorials. But apparently in the latest update, players who went onto the game found a development game menu that allowed them to see cheats and all sorts of stuff inside of the game. So obviously when they were busy patching this game for the next update, they forgot to take out the cheat controller, essentially, the thing that lets you to kind of go through all the different cheats and basically have developer powers within a game. They basically found that and obviously exploited it. So there was an article about that as well that came out that I thought was very, very interesting. Then we have TikTok. So you heard about TikTok almost getting banned from the USA, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, that could possibly happen in the near future. It looks like they're really pushing for it, eh?
They are. They absolutely are. Now it's even looking more likely that that bill might be passed. So TikTok's response to that is actually very interesting. So TikTok is now urging all of its users to call Congress about a looming ban. So apparently a push notification warns the move strips that 170 million Americans could be losing their constitutional right to free expression, right? That's basically what the Twitter video that goes out on people's feed says. It also says that as support grows for a bill in Congress that would effectively ban TikTok in the US, the video platform is trying to rally support among key groups of its own users. So it's trying to target niche areas and basically collect audiences from these niche areas and hope that these audiences are new enough and game enough to connect it to it, you know. And I'm just very interested to see what happens with TikTok. I really am. I've never seen TikTok fight back like this. Just imagine getting sent a video that says your South African rights are at risk because your country is trying to ban us.
Yeah.
Imagine being a country trying to ban an app, and that's their response, to go and tell all your citizens basically that you're banning them. And I think the funniest thing is that various representatives were kind of making complaints, saying so many people are calling in and complaining. And the reason that is because TikTok actually gives that person their local representative's number. So if they're unhappy with the fact that TikTok is going to be banned, then they can actually call their representative, which I think is so cool, because I don't think the majority of younger people or even active people will actually go so far as to make a complaint like that about something every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to see something try and get banned and then see a business basically connect to the community and then see the community uproar is actually a very unique thing. And I don't think people will want to just give up their ability to access information as they want to, you know.
Recently, we saw the U.S. senators grilling all the social media CEOs. Like, they grilled Zuckerberg as well. Yes. And the poor TikTok guy. And he kept telling them what his nationality is, because they kept getting it wrong. But, yeah, I actually felt so sorry for him, because they come down hard on these guys. And it also would seem that, most of the people on the panel there, that they were not well informed, you know, and they didn't really understand how it all works. You could just hear they couldn't understand how it works, you know. They're seeing it as this massive threat, you know, but you can hear it's older people arguing about technology. It's not a young and a fresh mind talking about it.
That's very, very interesting. You know, it's also very, very interesting. Apparently Netflix, I don't think you're ready for this. Netflix's next angle.
Whoa, it's what are they going to do to us now?
Strategy. I don't think you're ready for this. Oh, when I read this, I had to read it twice.
No,
because I was basically like, this can't be right. So Netflix's move into sports is basically centered around the fight that's coming up on the 20th of July in UFC against Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. So we're seeing the legend Mike Tyson go back in the ring since being an absolute OG, you know, champion, basically. Everybody knows Mike Tyson.
Is he not going to wipe out this guy?
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing. Everybody expects that to happen, and then these guys don't seem to have those kind of results. So it's either rigged very, very well, or these guys actually can do some damage. So, I mean,
are you going to watch it? It's going to be streamed live on Netflix, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely
that's a new thing for Netflix, to stream live sport events like that. I know they've been experimenting with it.
If Netflix had a sport channel and you had to do like a pay-per-view thing, would you do it?
Not that into sports, really, eh? Unless it's like a Rugby World Cup.
And only if you could pay to view the whole match. You don't have to buy all the minutes.
Maybe if it's an F1 thing. But, I mean, that's exclusive to Sky Sports. So yes. I don't think so.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Okay, and then the next up we have Adobe, who have got their Firefly generative AI features now moving over to mobile apps. So we didn't really see it before. It's been very difficult to get AI tools working on mobile phones just because of the server power processing and all that kind of jazz is significantly different. But it looks like Adobe is about to release AI features to new Adobe Express mobile app users. So if you're a person who owns Adobe and you create your social media images or blog images or media images or print images inside of Adobe, then you can also go and check out Adobe Express and try out their generative features, which is also available on mobile. So all the things that you could have done on desktop with Adobe Firefly's AI model, you should now be able to do with your phone, which I think is really, really cool and a great use of cloud processing.
And now
it's time for a music break.
Here we go. Welcome back to Tech Plus. This is the final stretch, talking about this week's biggest tech stories. Kane's got more for us next. How's it, Kane? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. What electric cars have you seen in this area? If you just had to...
Only one, and it was a BMW. And
BMW
you?
Or Mini?
No, it was a BMW.
A proper BMW.
No, it's like a small two-door BMW.
Okay. The weirdest little thing. BMW.
Yes, wait. Yeah, it was a BMW. White? I have a photo somewhere. It was a dark color.
Okay.
I think almost black.
It's funny that you've seen that, because the only other car that I've seen that's electric in this area is a Mini.
Really?
A Mini.
I think this one was just here on holiday because it wasn't a local number plate.
I just found it funny because Mini and BMW are the same people.
Yeah.
Same manufacturers.
That's true.
So I just thought
it's definitely
that was
a BMW, but not like a big four door one or a station wagon. It was like a small two door one.
So Volvo apparently has already received more orders for its EX30 compact SUV in South Africa, and that has made it now the best-selling electric vehicle in the country for the entire 2023. The EX30 was officially launched in South Africa on Thursday, 22 February 2024, with a starting price of 775,900. The entry-level option is the most affordable Volvo EV ever and the third most affordable fully electric car in South Africa. Volvo Cars South Africa Managing Director Greg Marowatsky told My Broadband that around half of South Africa's initial allocation of 500 cars was reserved by the time of the launch. To put the roughly 250 orders into perspective, the top-selling EV in South Africa, the Volvo XC40 Recharge, recently renamed to the EX40, recorded 150 sales in 2023. So to see 250 orders so quickly is actually pretty significant, and puts the Volvo ahead of its other model in terms of the most purchased electric car of 2023. I wouldn't have thought it'd be Volvo. I really didn't think Volvo would be the one at the top there. I really didn't, eh? definitely not for fully electric. I don't even think I've seen this Volvo car, to be honest with you.
Mm-mm.
It looks like a Land Rover meets a Range Rover meets an EcoSport.
Oh, it's very nice.
Yeah, so that's what I would like.
It looks quite nice, actually.
And it looks like it's got a bit of an X5 in it as well. Very nice car. But no, me, I mean, for 775,000 Rand to get a fully electric car is not an easy price tag to meet. And I'd love to see some more. Apparently, here's some more details about it. Only 13% of total customer orders so far are for the single motor core version, with 60% being for the twin motor performance variant and the rest of the single motor extended range. The twin motor performance is Volvo's fastest accelerating production car yet, with an output of 315 kilowatts and 543 newton meters of torque, enabling it to go from 0 to 100 in 3.6 seconds.
Yo.
That's very fast.
That's a lot of speeding fines.
You're going straight to jail, man. There's no fine for you. They're going to be finding you. While prices are starting for a more expensive 935,900, is nonetheless very good value for money when comparing its performance to petrol rivals around the same price. It's obviously the twin motor performance variant, and that's to about 200,000 Rand more expensive. But what a great looking car, and what a surprise to see Volvo coming in at the most purchased electric car of 2023, and so far the most sold vehicle of electric vehicle in 2024. Not something you see every day from Volvo. Have you seen any other Volvos on the road?
No.
Well, I'm trying to like remember. Like,
no.
When's the last time I saw a flipping Volvo?
No. But nowadays you've got your new cars, and you're seeing more and more of them, like Haval. That one's also a new one.
Haval is actually very popular. There's another one as well.
You didn't always see so many Havals on the road in the years, like 10 years ago.
It's just interesting because for Chinese companies like Haval, and there's another one as well. I can't remember what its name is, but it's also very, very popular.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking
They're
about.
They're being sold at a huge, like under market value. You can pick up some of these cars that look like they're literally like 1.5 million rand cars for like half a million rand, you know.
Sure.
They're just being sold at a low
very
value.
Very pretty cars, eh?
They're not bad. There's nothing. I would take that car any day for free. You don't even have to ask, you know. So, you know, it's a great car. I just think that what you're seeing is basically a super good offer from these manufacturers because they're trying to penetrate this market. Because why would you buy a Haval if you're the only Haval you've ever seen on the road? But if you see 5 or 6 or 10 in different colors and quite predominantly, you think, wow, this must be quite a popular car.
That's what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah,
because I'm seeing it all over. Oh.
Then Logitech has come out with their new webcam. Do you ever go on calls with webcam on or anything like that?
I don't like it. It gives me three chins.
Three chins. The two are there, but the third is AI generated.
Did you just say I have a double chin?
So Logitech's new MX Brio is a $200 or about 4,000 Rand 4K webcam with AI enhanced image quality. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, webcams are always a funny thing for me because they seem to cost so much money, but their quality seems to just be terrible.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever seen someone with a webcam, just put out your phone. Save yourself the hassle. I mean, like,
yeah.
Webcams seem like they're
quality
horrible.
Is everything, and it's usually the position also where you place it. Don't put it, like, lower than your face because it doesn't look good, you know.
One of the laptops we had, the integrated webcam came in the bottom left of the screen.
It was like, isn't that the one with the key that lifts up?
Maybe, I can't remember.
Yeah, like there's a key, one of the keys. I'm not sure if it's like, you know, one of the top keys there.
Yes.
With the F9, F10. It actually lifted up, and then that's the camera. So you had to look down.
What
a horrible angle!
Yeah, that's a terrible angle. It's
but
like
I mean, you're also very experienced with webcams and stuff. So when you go on call, I'm sure you put on the ring light and everything.
Oh man, I don't even like. I'm not the type of guy to actually go on a lot of video calls.
Do you have a ring light?
No, I bought one, but I don't actually use it.
Did you use a ring light in your YouTube days?
No, you know what? That was pre-ring light.
Pre,
and I don't think I mean, you know, actually thinking back to the YouTube days, the reason I might have used a ring light is because if you're filming towards a camera and you've got your ring light close enough, you can actually see the rings on a person's eye.
Always.
And
in
it
the
does
pupils,
create
yeah.
like a very engaging kind of look.
Yeah.
But what I used to do is I used to have other lights, and I would have like a light below me that would shine up. I would have lights in front of me that would shine down. So the logic would be that there would be lights that are facing me, usually like two, and then there are lights on the floor behind me to break the shadow of whatever the lights in front of me cast.
Did you just take random lamps or what?
No.
Did you buy special lights? I wanted...
When I was doing it a lot, I wanted like the whole setup where you have the softbox lights.
Wow.
But it was incredibly expensive. Continuous video lighting is actually what it's called. And it was surprisingly expensive. Like
now you just get a ring light for cheap, man.
Cheap.
On Takealot.
$150, $300.
Yeah. And it comes with the stand and you can even put your phone in it as well. It's crazy, eh?
The world has changed a lot. I mean, when I was still doing it, I couldn't even find a mic in South Africa.
Wow.
Like the mic you have in front of you now, or I have in front of me now, I couldn't for the life of me find where to buy one.
Wow.
I actually ended up buying from IT Future and Nice and all places. They had it was called a Razer Kraken Pro. It was like a USB mic. Because they didn't have these auxiliary mics that you see in studios.
Yes.
They only had like cheapo desk mics, and I wanted something professional. So I found the last Razer Siren. It was called the Razer Siren Pro. I found the last one. I bought it from IT Future, and 2 years later I sold it for more than I bought it for.
Good, at least you made a profit there.
But the reason that was is because there was no mics. No one could find anything. Yeah.
So there was always a mic shortage. I didn't even know.
I just don't think we had like very like folk, like there wasn't many people who were trying to import mics into South Africa, because there weren't many people who were trying to buy mics, because what were they going to do with them? Really expensive mics.
Yeah.
It was either being used in radio stations, which had it already.
Exactly.
Maybe studios, which had it already. So the consumer didn't really have an ability to do that. I actually was going to start like a mic distribution business.
That would have been, there was a gap for that.
It would have worked. I don't know.
It would have been so, so rich right now. But I'm just thinking, you know, for the videos you were making, didn't you need like a lapel mic? I think it's called a lapel mic.
You
put them on here, you know, like the news readers, they've got those mics up here.
So the mic that I used to use was like a shotgun mic. It was like a mic that attached to the top of your DSLR camera that was kind of omnidirectional. Well, it was actually monodirectional.
Okay.
Because wherever you pointed it and wherever you're pointing your camera is obviously where you're picking up the audio.
Yeah.
And it worked. You know, at times I would even use it as like a desktop mic because there wasn't anything else. But the lapel mics are fantastic because you can be any distance away from the camera, and you got, because it's recording on your person.
Yeah.
So lapel mics work really well. Do you want to hear something super interesting?
Of course.
Do you know, like, probably 95% of the audio that you hear in, like, National Geographic up close cinematography kind of shots are put in afterwards?
I'm not surprised.
Because think about it. You can have a camera with a lens that's literally 3 football fields long recording a lion licking its fur.
They say the sound is the most difficult part, not the camera work.
Because how do you capture the sound?
Yeah, and also afterwards you have to amplify it because maybe it's a bit too soft, you know. You got to compress it. And
so I think the best quality videos and stuff, they might have like real sound. They had mics and shotgun mics and they were just picking it up. But the stuff that's like super up close from far away, like guys like crawling through the rainforest, those are all recreated sounds.
It is.
There's birds chirping in the background and waterfall.
It's all a production, eh? You know, I think if you take away all the effects and stuff that they add, it's going to be so boring, eh? And a lot of times they will be, like, the volume will be so inconsistent. It'll be so soft at one stage and then boom, you know, like loud again. But also, something I didn't always realize is that, you know, when you're filming anything with professional equipment, sounds recorded separately.
Yes.
Afterwards, in post-production, it is, synced. It's lined up. That's also why they have those clapboards. But it's lined up with what you're seeing. And then It synced. So you, it's not like, I always thought, I think you get cameras with a mic on top, you know, but
it's recorded,
I always thought that's
channel.
How it was, but no, you get like sound booms and like we said, now lapel mics.
And you don't understand how frustrating it is trying to sync, and it sounds like such a silly frustration.
Is it hard
but it's
to
so
sync?
Hard to sync. Like if I'm, when I was doing my beginning YouTube days, I would have a separate audio recording device and a separate video recording device.
Yes.
And sometimes I'd have an additional device or two, video device. So at the end of it, you have to sync all the devices together. Otherwise,
that's
you're speaking, but the sound's coming earlier or later, you know?
It's so pretty hard.
Syncing is actually pretty challenging.
Like, even if it's out a millisecond, it's going to look like a bad dubbing job.
And
or
then
something.
It gets to the point where you can't tell if it's out or in.
So oh, no.
And sometimes you can feel like it's a fraction of a millisecond off, and you got
it's always a bit of a delay.
It's a really fine-tuned process. And the best way that I found to do that is actually when you're recording something. If you take the old audio and you lay and you keep that audio in and you bring a new high quality audio in, then sometimes you can match the wavelengths much easier.
Ah.
Because you can actually see the audio, like
you can see it,
and you might make a loud noise at the beginning, like a big noise, so that you can see the wavelength.
I think that's why they do those clapboards as well, to line it up. That's why.
Totally.
I thought, why are they still using those clapboards in movies? It's so old, but that's why. It's a marker.
It's clever.
It's for editing afterwards to make it easier. That's a fascinating world to go into.
It is, eh?
I wouldn't mind being an editor of
because
stuff.
One thing is just capturing it, but then it's like, what happens when you start making a CGI scene and you're remaking something that didn't even exist? Then you've got to find the perfect sounds to bring in.
That's another
this.
Job, eh? That's a big job as well.
Someone's just sitting. I've seen. You must go look at videos of people recording like audio tracks and things like that for games and things like that. People sitting there with all these funny like little like rackety tools and like
making different sounds
and like a bin and like hitting the bin with the thing
or the way they make thunder noises.
Take two pots or something like dude, it's crazy.
And then they sell it as a completely different noise.
And then you hear it and it sounds atmospheric. It sounds like you're at the ocean.
Wow.
You know? It's actually pretty talented.
It's all man-made with the weirdest things.
That is sound engineers for you. Then Fortnite, I think probably one of the most innovative games on the planet, to be totally honest with you. I mean, what a game. I'm not a big fan on how you play it, but I am I'm an advocate for how well they scaled. What other game do you know that has Wolverine in, Spider-Man in, flipping Disney princesses in, has...
Calling Judy.
It has every single thing that you could ever want, ever.
That's my own game that I made.
It has Blade. You know Blade? Yeah. The vampire slayer from like 1990 movies.
Oh, wow, okay.
They have Blade, they have Hulk, they have Marvel. They have DC. I'm pretty sure they have Batman. They have... They have every little bit of IP. And you won't find a game that has Spider-Man in that isn't Spider-Man. You won't find a game that has Batman in that isn't Batman. Or owned
the cheap
by
ripoff.
DC. So... Fortnite has now come out with a completely new approach. You know, they've very much been this IP house, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Star Wars, you know, all that stuff. And now, just yesterday, the new season of Fortnite launched.
Mm.
And in it, they had Greek gods like Zeus, Hades, Medusa, and a few others. So, interesting to see them take a Greek mythology approach and mix that, obviously, with all their superheroes and Spider-Mans and all that sort of jazz. Which I think is pretty innovative. I mean...
Is Medusa the one with the snake hair?
Yes. Okay. If you look her in the eyes, you turn to stone.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Next, this is quite interesting. I don't think you're going to like this one. LG's released a new TV. It's called Stand By Me. Okay.
Why?
It stands by you. The 27-inch smart TV, it's actually the size of my TV monitor, of my desk monitor, is part... $1,000 elegant TV on a stand. So what it is, and when I first saw this thing, if I had to describe to you without you being able to see this thing, what this thing looks like, it looks like a white desktop monitor attached to a stick connected to a Roomba. Okay? this is what it looks like. It literally looks like a TV with a pole coming out of it connected to a Roomba. And the logic behind it, obviously having the name Stand By Me, is a LG TV that's doesn't have very good quality, I might add, that costs 15,000 Rand, that doesn't follow you around the house. No, you have to push it around the house. It's basically a TV stand for 15,000 Rand, but it also is the TV. But
Stand By Me, but I'm doing all the work.
I was like, it could at least drive itself around.
I would have been, it looks like it's standing on a Roomba, so I thought, you know, maybe it's following you. Hey, but that's not a very attractive design, I must tell you.
It's better. I mean, have you, remember those AV TV stands at school?
Oh, those were huge.
They used to wheel in these bookcases.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, there's no lesson today. Just watching TV.
Just watching something.
With the old video machine.
Man, and now we have this abomination, which is about 100 times more expensive than that thing probably.
Yeah,
is.
But for that price, I would expect it to have like a sensor or something and follow me around.
For 15,000 Rand, I'd expect it to do my homework or something.
Yeah, now you got to take it with you all the time.
Yeah, you got to push it around.
Does it have wheels at least?
Yeah, but you're pushing it. It's wheeling it around.
It's probably very light as well.
I just would prefer.
But no, nah.
If I can choose for it to
not 15k, man.
15,000.
No, bloody hell, no. No, man. Come on, it's not even huge.
It doesn't seem like a smart home feature. It seems like an unsmart home feature.
No, I mean, if that thing was able to drive from one room to the other, you know, by itself, I mean, maybe that would have been quite.
People
cool.
were like, you could literally just replace it with an iPad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can just walk around with an iPad and there you go.
But one thing I wanted to actually ask you as well,
yes.
What a lot of people do nowadays is instead of getting a second or a third TV for a room, is they get a projector. And then all you need is a nice clean wall, you know, with nothing on the wall. And then they just project movies and stuff from their phones and add speakers afterwards. How does that work? I mean, have you tried that? Have you seen that up close in person before?
Well, you see, the better the quality of the projector, the better it's going to be in the worst case scenario for a projector, basically. The worst case scenario for a projector is being in a highly lit area.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're in a bright middle of the day, your viewing experience is not going to be as good.
It needs
good.
To be a nice dark room with blackout curtains, maybe.
Yes, but what you don't have is the hassle of moving around and lugging around a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-inch TV. Because you could just have a 70-inch TV in front of your room.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I set up my mom's 50s or 60, 70-inch TV or whatever, it is a traumatizing experience, to say the least.
What part of it?
The fact that it feels like it's going to snap in your bare hands.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, step one, place it on its face. Like, oh, jeez, that like, can't be right. Just put it flat on its face to start. It's the one thing you don't, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Oh,
and then when I bought mine, I bought one of those OLED ones. So it's like the thickness of the front of a book, basically. So literally when you're putting it on the front of its face, it feels like it's going to snap.
Snap, yeah.
And like right in your hands, it's just going to crack.
Sure.
But it didn't. It actually holds up pretty well. But for a projector, I mean, you just pick up the projector and you walk. There's no hassle.
Yeah.
Plug it in.
It's just, like you said, the most important part is obviously just how dark the room is, because you need it pretty dark. I mean, and then how would you, can you put like, plug in the external speakers, you know, for sound? Because, I mean, the sound obviously has to come from.
Some of them will have Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Some of them will have aux cables. Some of them will have SPDIF outs, like actual, you know, multi-channel surround sound outs. And even the caveat, which is like, it will only work in a badly lit room, basically, is the caveat to the cheapest of projectors. I think when you start getting more and more expensive in the projector market, that's the first thing probably that you're going to notice the difference on, is it performs very, very well in low light. And number two, it has very good aptitude to support audio. And I think a very cheap projector would be used for something like PowerPoint presentations, whereas a more expensive projector might be used for something like a home cinema.
So
I think if you buy a home cinema projector, you're going to have a great experience. I think if you buy a home PowerPoint projector,
no,
you're going to be disappointed.
Imagine watching a movie on
on PowerPoint, frame by frame.
Little block on your wall. But I was just wondering, because I think it's a sort of a trend right now. I saw on Takealot also people buying projectors for that purpose instead of buying another TV. But and also you don't need a TV license for that. But most of them were quite disappointed in the quality I saw, saying it's pixelated. And then there was one guy who said the projector overheated and caught fire.
No, well, that'll do it.
During the movie, I didn't know that was possible.
That'll do it. I think also if you don't have white walls,
yes,
so you're going to put like a cloth or a drape.
Yeah, you
down.
Need like a white thing. Yeah.
Yes, but I think somewhere like here it would make sense to have a projector.
Yeah, it would be lovely. I wouldn't mind a projector.
Yeah,
or maybe you can like project it onto your roof.
Well, look here. Yeah. How much are you going to spend on a TV? On a good TV, you spend like 15 to 25K, right?
Yes, at least a smart TV.
So if you
TV,
want a TV in your lounge and you want a TV in your bedroom, it's going to cost you 30 to 50K.
Mm-hmm.
But for a projector, it might cost you 12K. Now you've got a TV that you can take from your lounge to your room. It might not be always in the lounge. It might not be always in the room. It might not be a fixed thing. It might not be coming out of an LED. But at the end of the day, you've got a TV that can be 60-inch, 70-inch, 80-inch. It can be 4K, you can have cinema sound, you can move it to a different room, you can keep it in your kitchen, you can take it away when you go on holiday, you can, like when I go to Buffalo Bay, they don't have nice TVs there.
Mm-mm.
It would be so cool to just have a projector there, put it up for the whole fam on a big open wall area and just mellow out, you know?
But can you make it smart? Is there a way of making it smart? Could you connect one of those boxes to it or how would you make it smart?
Some of them are natively smart.
Okay.
They have Netflix apps and stuff.
Wow.
They have Android.
I'm impressed. I didn't know that.
Yeah, definitely worth looking at.
So that's a bit of a new craze.
It
getting a projector instead of a TV.
If you get one, you got to tell us how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you hate it, we can give it away on radio.
No, you can give it to the hosts of the show, man. Awesome, Kane, thank you so much. That's another great show in the can, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks to all of our listeners for listening in. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely, and have a lucky weekend.
Have a good weekend. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.